8:30 a.m. at the Red Lion Hotel on the river at Jansen Beach, 909 North Hayden Island Drive in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Inside Gaza, an evening with Dr. Clyde Ferris on Sunday, January 13th from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at Tabor Space in Portland. Dr. Clyde Ferris, an orthopedic surgeon from West Lynn, recently returned from a trip to Gaza where he worked with a team of Palestinian orthopedic specialists. Dr. Ferris will describe the type of injuries he saw and the conditions inside what has been called the largest open-air prison on Earth. Again, that's Inside Gaza, an evening with Dr. Clyde Ferris on Sunday, January 13th, from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at Tabor Space, 5441 Southeast Belmont in Portland. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
All right. And didn't I tell you about that I was going to we were going to hear more about some of our friends and neighbors who support KBOO in the way that makes sense for them after I've called upon you to support KBOO in the way that makes sense for you. Well, support for KBOO programming comes from Dark Side Cinema in Corvallis, open every night, featuring independent foreign and art house films. Dark Side is located at 215 Southwest 4th Street between Madison and Jefferson. More information and showtimes available online at darksidecinema.com. This is Valley Views.
Hi, I'm Dale Holliday coming to you from Corvallis, Oregon in the bountiful Willamette Valley. Welcome to my show, Valley Views, a forum for sharing relevant topics relating to people and issues in the Willamette region.
Hi, folks. Welcome to Valley Views. I'm here today with my husband, Max Mania. He recently ran as an unaffiliated candidate for Benton County Commissioner and unfortunately lost. I operated as his campaign manager. Since the fool got into the White House, there's been a push for more grassroots political action. But few actually put their bodies, reputation, and lives on the line by running for office. It's not easy. In fact, it's downright brutal. Years ago, Max was successful in his bid for Port Angeles City Council, Clallam County, Washington. He squeaked in, running as a progressive environmentalist, taking the good old boys in that former logging town by surprise, and was the lone elected official speaking up in opposition to the foreign multinational that owned the last mill in town, a corporation that ran Port Angeles. Max decided to offer his leadership and experience to Benton County in what we both thought could be a positive, game-changing event, challenging business as usual. I say game-changing because the exclusively Democratic leadership on the county commission during the past 20 years has led to Benton County having the worst economic inequality in Oregon. Historically, the three Democrats here on the county commission have governed very much like Republicans. So with that, I'd like to welcome Max to the show. Hi, Max.
Hey, Dale.
So let's talk a little bit about getting the necessary support today.
Well, the first thing I would advise people is to have redundancy built in. You're going to have people who, they seem like they'd be natural allies or supporters. They may even tell you that they are, and they will fade away. They will drop off. They will go rogue on you, if you will, go back to the Democrats, whatever. Meanwhile, people who you didn't expect are going to step up, take sort of leadership roles within the campaign and help you out. But again, if you've got a core group of five or six people and you think, hey, we can do this, remember that some of those people are going to peel away. You're going to want to have, you really do need to gather just as many people as you can that you can trust, because it's a war of attrition. situation, amongst other things?
Well, I know for one thing, there were a lot of Bernie supporters.
Right. The Benton County was a big Bernie county. It supported Bernie heavily. I got the endorsement of both the local Bernie Sanders affiliated groups, the Our Revolution group, the local Democratic Socialists, and then they officially endorsed me, had people involved in the campaign, but as the campaign rolled along, as the election got closer, a lot of them just sort of got wiggly and defected back to the Democratic Party.
They lost their nerve. You know, so you recommend that people gather these allies. So what does that look like? I mean, how did you spend your time campaigning?
Well, you know, in my case, again, having held public office, I was the only candidate running who had municipal governing experience, municipal budgeting experience, mm-hmm. so I had the skill set
yes.
and experience going into this. I had a very public record of standing up for the environment against a multinational corporation at great personal cost, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
So the environment was the centerpiece of my campaign. It's very important to who I am. You know, I looked to the environmental community. I've been involved with the arts my whole life, mm-hmm. so the arts community, the queer community, the trans community. So you look for natural allies and try and play to your strengths while also speaking to everyone. That's part of what I like about being an independent, because on one hand, yes, I'm this tree-hugging liberal, sure, but I'm also the fiscal conservative. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was part of what, when I was on the city council in Washington, was this strange role I filled for people where after about a year on the council, all these Republicans who had opposed me, some of them started coming up to me and thanking me because I was the lone voice of fiscal sanity on that council. I was the only one voting against all these staff-driven boondoggle projects that mm-hmm. were wasting millions of dollars worth of money. So it wasn't as simple as we try and make it in this country. And that's part of the poison of the two-party system. It's a one or two system, A or B, black or white, up or down. None of us are that simple. And in this case, because I was the first to file, because I was the most organized candidate, because I was the most energetic candidate, because I was the one that was hitting the ground running, I was able to do things a lot of independent candidates can't. I got the major endorsements of the, like I said, the Bernie Sanders groups. I got a major endorsement from the SEIU union,
yes.
who usually go to the Democrats. They say they're nonpartisan, but let's face it, unions tend to go with the Democrats. I got that endorsement.
Uh-huh.
And so I had a lot of traction. And that got a lot of attention,
yes.
at least initially. But of course, the attention, the flip side of that coin is that you're going to get the other side worried. And there was definitely a point in the campaign when I was aware that the Democrats were suddenly aware that mm-hmm. they had a problem on their hands in terms of, oh, this guy's viable.
Yes.
And that's when the, you know, with the attention you're getting that's positive also draws an equal or even larger amount of negative attention from the other people running.
Well, let's talk about these Democrats a little bit, because I know that when I mentioned the Bernie people, because apparently, well, as we know, that Bernie at one point suggested that the people who supported him try to work with the Democrats or get involved with the party to, you know, kind of try to change things from within. And I know some people that swallowed that, and I did not see that working at all.
My personal belief is, and whether this is a business you're talking about, a political party, a nonprofit, a group's primary objective is to survive. And that obliterates a lot of moral and ethical barriers to behavior. So let's face it, the Democratic Party can say they stand for the environment, they can stand for the LGBTQ community, but what they really stand for is the Democratic Party.
Yes.
And so going forward, that is the one thing you can be assured that they will work really hard on, is creating their own continuity. I was in this unique position of a unique and unpleasant
mm-hmm.
position of being the most progressive candidate in the race, the only one with the experience, the one with the public record of standing up for all these progressive causes, being attacked by the Democratic Party and progressives.
Yes, and we both know what that feels like.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so I tell people, one thing I appreciate about the people on the right is when they come at you from the front.
Mm-hmm.
But all the knife wounds I've got in my back are from people who, at one point, I would have called friends, allies, comrades, whatever you want to say it.
Mm-hmm.
But these were people who we were, in theory, fighting for the same thing. But if you're in the way of their survival, I mean, I was running. I was right up front about it. I was like, I'm better than the Democrats. If you believe in the things the Democrats say they stand for, I'm a better candidate for you. The Democratic candidate had nothing to say here.
Well, I'm going to give a couple of examples in terms of you're talking about systems perpetuating themselves. During the primary, when it was all Democrats running, and there was like, well, how many?
There were six in the primary.
And they were called to get the Democratic endorsement. Some of them were invited to interview. Some of them weren't. Some of them...
Well, the endorsement process is always fraught with peril. The filing period ended on a Tuesday at 5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like the Oregon League of Conservation Voters had their endorsement out for the Democrat who eventually did win.
Yes.
But they had their endorsement out for him less than 48 hours later. Now, one of the candidates running had filed literally at the last minute, like 20 minutes to 5 the last day. So there was just logistically no way that the Oregon League of Conservation Voters actually talked to everyone. And I verified that that was absolutely
true.
Yeah,
it was verified, yes.
So, but here's this endorsement from this supposedly thoughtful, caring environmental group. But if you look at the actual process, it's just a sham. They're going to endorse the Democratic Party's chosen candidate, and that's what they did. And you just look at the timeline. It's very naked.
And that same candidate, Pat Malone, did lean on the SEIU people when he found out that they were considering you for endorsement. He just wanted the endorsement.
Well, I was invited to interview. I was willing to go down to Eugene to be interviewed for the endorsement. He was not. This is the Democratic candidate who just expected to be handed that endorsement, but he wouldn't even be interviewed. He wouldn't sit for an interview. And that, there were many examples of that where there were groups that had sent out questionnaires. I was the only one that answered. There would be groups that would be offering an endorsement. I would engage them in their process, and the Democrat would just expect it to be handed to them.
There was also another Democrat that ran in a primary that was interviewed in Salem, apparently, and was ambushed. The first question she was asked, this was in terms of getting the endorsement, was, so how much money are you prepared to raise for the party?
Well, right. So you had, again, this was during the primary process, one of the just two or three of the six candidates who the Oregon League of Conservation Voters actually did talk to, apparently. But here, first question of this candidate, you're here to talk to these conservation people, right? You're supposed to be talking about the environment in theory, things like that.
Right.
And the first question was, how much money are you going to raise for the Democratic Party? That seems sort of beside the point in that context. But that's how it works. I was happy to get the endorsements I did. I'm not going to lie about that. I worked hard to get them, and they meant something to me. But a lot of endorsements, you're asking voters to be thoughtful, and that's a tough thing. Voters, it's this weird conundrum, because voters are trying to elect someone who they would say they want them to be thoughtful and reasonable and informed, but voting itself is a very emotional act. People don't approach it from a rational, reasoned, informed perspective. In many cases, they are making a last-minute decision. They're just voting a party line. They get panicky. It's the day before the ballots are due, and they haven't even read an article or looked at the voter's guide. And so then suddenly this last-minute rush to make a decision, which, again, tends to sort people into their pre-existing party affiliations.
Yes.
So it's tough. You know, you're running, and I am, you know, as an introvert, as someone who is very focused on the issues and facts, I was running like it was a business proposition, in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm putting, here's my product, me, my skills, my experience, my priorities out. But the voters, it's kind of like a first date, and it's an emotional experience, and they want to be romanced and wooed, but not so much that it seems fake. And so it's a very delicate balance, and it's tough. When you pair that tough task with the inherent advantages built into the system for the two parties, the Republicans and the Democrats, who traditionally have dominated our American politics, it's a challenging road.
Well, there's no doubt you challenged the status quo here and the three Democrats that sit on the commission currently. I mean, I saw behavior that I thought was unusual.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I personally don't think it's proper or appropriate for people to try and endorse the person that's going to replace them. I think that's...
And they did that.
That's tacky. They very much did that. There's a lot here. I mean, that's why I stepped up to run, because there's a lot that's wrong here. Mm-hmm. People, when we moved here, people got to know me, knew, found out about my political background, and said, hey, take a look at the county to consider getting involved, because we're this supposedly progressive county here in Benton County, but it's run by three sort of Republicans. We're in this lawsuit that could bankrupt the state with a bunch of Republican counties.
Yes.
We're cutting funding for social services. Transparency here is terrible.
Yes, and when you say the lawsuit, I'll just quickly say it's a timber lawsuit. We don't have time to go into it right
but
now.
We joined with a bunch of Republican counties to sue the state of Oregon for $1.5 billion.
We're coming up against the end of this segment. There's just a lot to talk about, but I hope today we just at least gave an example of some of the support you can get when you run, and some of the unexpected obstacles from people that supposedly should be allies, and what that means and what that looks like, how it unravels.
Well, and yeah, you need to have a plan, you need to have a structure, you need to have people, and you need to aim high.
And you had all that.
Right, and again, the fact that I could, as an independent candidate, get an SEIU endorsement, huge. It can be done, but it doesn't just happen.
Right. Oh, an SEIU, not everyone knows what that is.
The Service Employees International Union.
It, yes.
It represents something like 70,000 workers in the state of Oregon.
Okay, Max. Well, thanks again for being with us. And we will see you again next week.
Thanks.
Talk about social media a little bit. Thank you.
You've been listening to Valley Views. I'm your host, Dale Holiday, and I'd love to hear from you. Comments, questions, ideas for future topics, or other matters you would like explored. Email me at valleyviews@kbu.org. That's valleyviews@kbu.org. Special thanks to Chad Howard from Corvallis Access Media for his technical assistance and support. I look forward to being with you again next time. And remember, as Doctor Who once said, I'm not in charge, but I'm full of ideas. Bye!